wrong sitting around out here with this group.
KRLV Las Vegas.
It's very bad. Still Joe Boots wrong.
Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Other sports services spend hundreds of thousands of dollars training salesmen day in and day out to learn rebuttals and techniques on how to sell you and take your money.
TomBartonSports.com doesn't employ any salesmen. We don't have rebuttals or techniques because, well, our winning and honesty speaks for itself. TomBartonSports.com is the best in the business. TomBartonSports.com charges less than $100 for 30 days of service, and there is no fine print. 30 days, every play, every level, not another penny. That means no salesman asking you for commission, no salesman telling you to bet out of your comfort zone, no salesman, period. So this year, when they call you and try and convince you they have that can't-miss lock of the century, you tell them you decided to go with the sports handicapper who's never had a losing season and who Gaming Today called the honest handicapper, TomBartonSports.com.
TomBartonSports.com is an informational site only and does not accept wagers.
The best place to cheer on your home hockey team is at Parkway Tavern. Every game is a viewing party with more than 80 HD TVs and the best atmosphere in Vegas. Enjoy $4 Miller Lite drafts and $15 buckets during every game, plus $5 Jaeger shots and $20 Mini Meister buckets. This is the ultimate way to watch when the puck drops. Parkway Tavern with four convenient locations. Flamingo in the 215, Tivoli Village, Warm Springs and Marks and Henderson, and now open inside the district of Green Valley Ranch. Reserve your seat at pkwytavern.com.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. I have my lock of the century. Surefire, can't miss, guaranteed game tonight. So just pay me $1,000 and get my game now.
I'm not interested. I'm with TomBartonSports.com, and he's warned me to never trust anyone who uses the words lock or guarantee.
Yeah, but my game can't lose and won't lose. That's why you have to pay up.
Well, TomBartonSports.com charges me just $100 for 30 days of service, and I'm making money with him every month.
You might make some money with him, but I'm the best. I have a 90% winning record. Now, can he beat that?
And where can I verify this 90%? I mean, where are you monitored, and where can I see every play you give out?
Well, no one in the business shows every play they give out. Man, you just got to take my word for it. Come on.
Well, TomBartonSports.com does. He can prove his winning numbers, and he's made a profit every season for a decade, and that's documented.
But you can trust me. Don't I sound trusting? So, come on, give me that credit card number.
TomBartonSports.com was called the honest handicapper by Gaming Today magazine. Where have you been written up about your integrity? And with TomBartonSports.com, I don't have to give my card number over the phone. I just go online and work through a secure website.
But,
by the way, TomBartonSports.com would never call my house because he's too busy breaking down games and getting information. He doesn't have time to be making cold calls. If you're tired of the same old handicappers with the same tired sales tactics, then try TomBartonSports.com. No sales, just wins.
It's Mardi Gras time at Rebar on Main Street in downtown Las Vegas. Starting first Friday, March 1st, with a very special voodoo and Mardi Gras-themed art walk on Main Street. Then Saturday, March 2nd, it's Rebar's customer appreciation event with free food, free beer, and even your free first hurricane starting at 7 p.m. Plus, if you live in downtown or East Las Vegas, all seven of your city council candidates running for Ward 3 will be in attendance. Come meet your future council person at Rebar. Rebar's Customer Appreciation Event, Saturday, March 2nd, starting at 7 p.m. And finally, on Fat Tuesday, it's the third annual Mini Mardi Gras Parade, Costume Contest, and Bar Crawl on Main Street. Dress up or make your own mini float for a chance to win major cash and prizes. It's Mardi Gras time, starting first Friday, March 1st, and running through Fat Tuesday on March 5th at Rebar on Main Street in the downtown Las Vegas Arts District.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Walsh Jennings, and you are listening to Heat Wave Sports on Fox Sports Radio.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
And we're going to talk some NBA basketball here to open up hour number two. Tim Unglesby, Chris Wynn, Tom Barton. Guys, the Celtics and the Lakers, right?
The standard bearers,
yeah,
right?
Supposed to be the
for
beginning
the
of the new rivalry to begin again.
Yes.
Let's start in the East. Boston, 38-26. right now fifth in the Eastern Conference standings. They've lost 7 of their last 10. Kyrie Irving's mad. Tom, what's the issue in Boston? Is it just a matter of the again? Do they have the Reno effect right here that they think they can just turn it on when the playoffs start?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Which is shocking to me. I've been a big Brad Stevens fan forever. Okay, I really think he's one of the best coaches in the league. I've called him the best coach. This is a little bit of the Kyrie effect too. Look, you know, when you're an underachieving team and you're well coached, and you start to kind of achieve, you grow together. When you start adding pieces and you're supposed to win, that whole, you know, supposed to win sort of mentality. But I'm not getting on the Celtics too bad as much as I'm getting on the NBA. We see these things happen year after year, don't we? Where the NBA is such a joke. It's such a terrible product. It really is the worst sporting product that we have out there. And it's so bad that the players know. Don't think that Boston doesn't know. All right, guys, we're not clicking now. But are we afraid of the A seed, you know, the 7 seed, the 6 seed, or whoever we get? We're not afraid of the Nets, the first round. We're not afraid of that. But we could turn it on. And listen, you can say, well, eventually you're going to have to turn it on. But the NBA product is so bad. Who are they going to get in the first round? Who are they going to get in the second round? They don't have to really go straight into the third round. At least that's their mentality. And it's hard to argue with it when you really sit back and you look at the way that the structure of the NBA is. Why would you – look, I bash on players that don't give 100%. But why would it upset you about losing right now? Well, why would it upset you if you're a Celtics fan, you know, that, well, this team isn't exactly performing up to their level right now? All right, that's okay. Is anybody overly concerned? They've fallen down to the 5 seed. Look, Milwaukee, Toronto, Indy, Philly, Boston, they're going to play who, Detroit? You think they're worried about Detroit? Think they're worried about Brooklyn if they get there? They're not worried about any of these teams. They need to be worried about the teams in front of them. The teams in front of them, whether they're playing well or not, are still going to be subject to a tough situation. What's shocking to me, and what kind of tells me that Boston just isn't putting their full effort in, is they're under 500 on the road. At home, they're fine. They're under 500 on the road. That means you're losing focus on the road. But they do have a good conference record, okay? You're still scoring well. Your point differential is still in the positive. It's not like this team is a bad team, but 3-7 in the last 10, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I think that's been the concern, is that since the All-Star break, the Celtics they flat out aren't playing well. And also, there's this narrative out there that I want to get your comments on, Tommy, in regards to Kyrie Irving there in Boston, right? And now there's these rumblings of he's a lot like Rajon Rondo, in effect, that he's, you know, he's one of those locker room killer type of guys, you know, a guy that can just destroy chemistry. And I've had a chance to talk to a few Boston Celtic fans, of course, myself, along with you, Tommy. I went to college in that area, so I'm very familiar with the whole mental makeup of Celtic fan, okay? And some of them contend that this Boston Celtic team, they're actually better without Kyrie Irving than they are with Kyrie Irving, which would sound preposterous, I guess, to many NBA fans, considering, you know, he's probably one of the top 5 point guards in the NBA, and you're talking about not having this guy on your team and you're a better team than they are. But, you know, but again, maybe there's a case for it, given what the Celtics have been able to do as of late. And the game today was just kind of crazy, because it was a tale of the first 3 quarters and then the 4th quarter, right? Because the Houston Rockets, I think they scored 32-plus points in the first 3 quarters, and then they end up with 15. Like, think about this. How many teams usually win NBA games when they drop a 15 spot in the 4th quarter, Tim and Tommy, you know, and they end up still winning the game? That's what was kind of wild about it. But look, I mean, I just want to get your thoughts, Tommy, on this whole, you know, the state of the Celtics. Because let's be honest, when it came to the East, and we started talking about, you know, the teams that could actually win that conference and maybe even contend for an NBA title against the likes of the Warriors and maybe somebody else, The Celtics are right there at the top, and rightfully so, given you're getting back, you know, a healthy a Gordon Hayward, who I don't think has been the guy that they all expected there in Boston. They obviously they had Kyrie Irving, they have Al Horford, they have pieces there that you think of the whole scope of the Eastern Conference, you would expect the Celtics to be there. And now it seems to me that there's this this kind of cloud, I guess is a way to put it, Tommy, hanging over this team, given, you know, we're kind of on the doorstep of rolling into the playoffs here.
You took the words out of my mouth. It is, as much as everybody wants to blame Kyrie, and I do believe that Kyrie has that effect, okay? I do believe that. There's also the idea that Gordon Hayward is supposed to be counted on. And I get it, he's coming off of an injury, and we could all, you know, from an emotional standpoint, and a standpoint, we feel bad for him. He's not what they wanted. Al Horford has changed his game to fit Kyrie. Al Horford, people forget, when he was in Atlanta, man, he was the man, right? This is a guy that was the man. He was their all-star. He was their big player. Yeah, he's got the rebounds this year, averaging 13 points a game. That's not what you want. He's the fourth highest scorer on the team, guys, right? Hayward's the sixth highest scorer on the team. They're just not generating enough offense, and maybe it's because they're funneling it to Kyrie. I'm not worried about Boston to a point of, well, you know, I think that they're going to be a flop. I still think that they're better than Indiana. I had Toronto winning and going to the championship before the year. Toronto, right now, I think, is looking up at Philly, even though not in the standings. Milwaukee's a team I've liked for a couple of years. They're another team. I don't think that it's necessarily that Boston got worse, and yet you should be worried about that. I think it's that the East collectively got better. Milwaukee is a better team. Toronto is just a better team. The Sixers are just a better team. Indiana, well, one of the great stories in the NBA that no one's talking about, is the fact that they're in third place in that conference. They have the fifth best record in the NBA. But I'm not nervous about Indiana. So you look up and down and you go, do you think Boston in a playoff will beat Philly? I'm not sure I believe that before the year. Do you think Boston, you know, will beat Toronto? I'm not sure that I believe that before the beginning of the year. And will they beat Milwaukee? I'm not sure that I believe that. The teams got better. And with that, now all of a sudden, this is the height. Uh-oh, Boston isn't playing well. I think they're going to right the ship. I think that they are in a position where they know that they are good. They know that they could kind of take it easy. They want that third seed, and I do. I think that they're looking to flip that switch. They will flip it. It just might be a little too late.
Tim and Tommy, you guys brought up the Eastern Conference playoff, you know, projections and possibilities as far as matchups. We know the NBA, right? It's all about matchups in the playoffs and about certain teams' tendencies and what could happen. And Tommy, you brought this up as well, too. What do you think as far as you don't think that one of these teams, maybe a Detroit or a Brooklyn or an Orlando, could throw a monkey wrench into things for these top tier teams, whether it be the Bucks, the Raptors, or the Pacers? I mean, look, I'm not trying to sound like a homer here, but the Pistons are a team that are playing pretty well as of late. They actually just beat Toronto today in Detroit. So I mean, we all know the NBA. It's about matchups. Could one of these teams cause some problems for one of these top tier Eastern Conference teams?
Oh, look, bet $2,000 before the year for the Nets to make the playoffs to win $5,700 will tell me that I kind of believed in the Nets, right?
Yes.
I like the Nets. They were playing well for a while. Now they're getting healthy, and they don't look as good. D'Angelo Russell could take over a game. Spencer Dinwiddie is a guy that is dangerous, but they're just not. They cannot compete with the big boys. Orlando cannot compete. And your Detroit team, I'm sorry, they just cannot compete. It's going to be really interesting to see who gets the five seed, because the one against Orlando or Charlotte, whoever, or Miami, absolutely no concern there. The two, whoever gets, you know, Brooklyn, look, Brooklyn might steal a game. Maybe they compete really well, but there's no concern there. The three getting your Detroit team, I'm not concerned. It's the 4-5 matchup. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be that? It's the race to get to that three seed. And Boston's either going to play Philly, and they're hoping that they play Indiana. I think if Boston plays Indiana, they get by. If Boston plays Philly, I'm not sure they get out of the first round. I'm not, and that's crazy, because I'm looking at this and I'm going, this seems like an Eastern Conference final, Boston-Philly. For the first time in a long time, we could have an interesting NBA playoff or early rounds, right? The NBA playoffs have been almost as painstakingly awful to watch as the NBA regular season. But for the first time, we could get Boston-Philly round one. Now, that's pretty interesting, you know? And then you get either a Boston-Philly and round one, you get Milwaukee-Toronto coming down. All of a sudden, the East makes the NBA a little intriguing going into the playoffs.
Okay. Well, what about the West? How about LeBron, Tom? 30-33. They are 4.5 games behind the Spurs for the eighth spot in the playoffs. They are a team in dissension right now, which is great. And they just came off a loss to the worst team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns. But before I get you on you guys on the LeBron Lakers, Tom, how about them Spurs? What I say last year?
Yeah, you were ahead of the curve, and you got ripped apart.
I did.
Spurs demise
by this man sitting next to me as well.
Yes.
Well, look, Popovich, it just doesn't have his head in the game. No, he hasn't had his head in the game in a long time. He's gone off the deep end. We understand that. He talks nonsense. He sounds like a complete moron when he opens up his mouth now. his game of, you know, let's talk about things other than you know, getting my team, you know, to play effectively and try to be a social justice warrior. Your team's not good enough for you to do that anymore, Pop. I mean, concentrate on your team. He's not all of a sudden a bad coach, but all of a sudden he's not a great coach either. Because if you're a great coach, got your team much higher than not eighth place and maybe ninth place in this conference. The team that I talked about on the Sports Garden show a lot over the last couple of weeks has been Sacramento. I'm really impressed with this team. Look, they may not make the playoffs, and they're not going to win a championship next year. But, man, they are a fun team to watch. It's nice to see them, how they're growing, and it's nice to watch this team kind of evolve. I'm rooting for them. I want them to get the A seed. I like what they're doing in Sacramento. I think that they're building it the right way. I know that they're an easy organization to hate and an easy organization to kind of just brush aside, right? I mean, that's the team that you could just go, oh, who cares? They're a 500 team in the West. With that roster, give me the Kings, man. I'm rooting for them.
And Sacramento, I don't know if it necessarily there's that desire to hate the Kings. I think it's more apathy, right? It's more, you know, they've kind of been irrelevant for so many years, you know, since the Jason Williams, you know, Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, you know, Paige Stojakovic days. So I think and they have all, you know what it is, Tommy? And guys, they have this young talent, you know, the De'Aaron Foxes, those so many young pieces there that your expectation is that they're going to ascend and be one of those teams in the West. But Tim, you brought it up. And Tommy, I got to get your take. The Lakers. Look, let's be honest about it here, okay? If this were the Minnesota Timberwolves or the New Orleans Pelicans or even the Atlanta Hawks, a team like the Lakers who are 30-33 and are 3-7 and it looks like they're going to miss the playoffs completely with the best player in the game on their team. You know, we wouldn't even be talking about this team. You know, they would be an afterthought in the NBA. But because it's the Lakers, we talk about them, right? Because they're a glory franchise. But I mean, it really is. It's rough sledding right now, right? If you're the Lakers, I mean, there's talks about obviously Luke Walton and his job security, and do they go a different direction with him? There's thoughts that maybe they shut down LeBron James for the rest of the season, and is this, how much does this mean as far as a hit on LeBron's legacy? Because you know, you go to the Lakers and the expectation is, oh yeah, you know, he should be able to elevate them to at least being a playoff team. And now they're not going to make the playoffs, and it's going to be the first time since you know, all of us were young bucks that LeBron James is not going to be in the playoffs. So like, it's what's going on in Los Angeles really is kind of tough to watch. Even if you're a starch hater like I am of the Los Angeles Lakers, it's tough to see.
Chris, are you kidding me?
Yes.
There's nothing better than one of the most ignorant men on the planet, LeBron James, going down in flames.
Yes,
love it. On the wearing a jersey of a team that I can't stand. I love it. This is everything that was predicted, though. We could go to our preseason show, you know, and I said, look, LeBron's never been hurt in his life. Go back to that show. You could ask him. I said, all of a sudden, LeBron's going to miss some time this year. Because they didn't want to win this year, Chris. You know, I think it's hitting LeBron now. Uh-oh. You know, I didn't win. And what's going to happen next year? He's going to get a couple of his players. LeBron's going to say, I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. He's going to come back. They're going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be the rejuvenation story. I mean, this was all set up. LeBron James did not go to L.A. to win. He went to L.A. because he wanted to do Space Jam 3. Or Space Jam 2, I mean. Yes. He wanted to do the stupid barbershop show that he's got, that moronic piece of garbage. This is what he wanted to do. He didn't go there to win. He feels, I got my titles. He went there to be a Hollywood star and to be that guy. He's an athlete that thinks he's more than what he is, and he's getting his just desserts. I love to watch him fail. And I love to watch him fail in a manner that shows his true being. Did you see him throw that inbounds pass the other day? He doesn't care. He's all about LeBron. He's always been all about LeBron. He's an easy guy to hate because he's just a moron. And good. Keep losing, LeBron. Nobody cares. Keep losing.
Guys, what'd you think about that whole debacle where before a matchup with the Golden State Warriors, LeBron is going to decide to take a quote-unquote rest day, right? Because I don't really understand why these players do this. I mean, look, you play basketball for a living. You're not digging ditches, right, as an NBA player, yet they take these rest days. And instead, he's out whacking back bottles of wine with some rapper in the studio, you know, when he's supposed to be – you're in the midst of – you're not in the offseason. Right, you're not even in the All-Star break. This is in the middle of the regular season, and you got LeBron, you know, whacking back some vino with some rapper.
That whole thing was just
crazy to me.
He was drinking wine walking into the stadium. Remember that?
Yes. Like, look, LeBron. I get it. Okay, you're one of the best players of all time, but you know, and you're not going to get away with stuff like that. Okay. Like, unless you're Michael Jordan, when you can go and you can gamble, you know, in Atlantic City, and then you can come back and drop a 50 spot, mm-hmm. or your team can come back and win a playoff series. Okay, then you can get away with stuff like that. You can't though if you're on a team that's under 500. All right, and you're the guy, you're the focus, you're supposed to be the guy that sets the tone. You're not able to do stuff like that. And so that's what I don't get about LeBron. And I know we're kind of piling on LeBron here, which is absolutely fine.
Let's go.
But because mm-hmm. I my whole deal with him.
We don't care.
But the fact of the matter is that you just can't do that if you're LeBron James and expect people to respect you as someone who's going to lead that franchise out of the abyss that they're in right now.
LeBron, nobody respects LeBron. He is, I've said it time, he is one of the most ignorant human beings that is in the public spotlight. There's nothing this man has said that has ever been intelligent. He says ridiculous things in ridiculous ways with ridiculous takes. And the problem is because he's got people around him that are LeBron yes men. That's all he does. Even on his teams, guys, he's got nothing but LeBron yes men, right? He builds his teams. They're LeBron yes men. His entire life has been, wow, LeBron just said the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But we're not going to tell him about it. Just keep going with that, LeBron. He is a very, very ignorant human being on most cases from the statements that he said, from things that he's done, drinking wine, walking into the arena, like you said, taking a rest day and pounding. Yeah. It's a look. And you know, the athlete that he's often compared to, you say, is Michael Jordan. And you're right, it is Michael Jordan. But the modern-day athlete that he should be being compared to, or should be, we know that it's not close, but would be Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Could you see Brady ever doing any of these things? Saying the things that LeBron says? Could you see Brady walking into an arena chugging a beer? Could you see Brady taking a rest day and doing, no, that's not reality. Because LeBron doesn't want to win. LeBron wants to be a celebrity. He doesn't want to be a basketball player anymore.
Do you guys think that when Magic Johnson went balls out to try to get Anthony Davis, and LeBron basically didn't say the right things, right? Instead of saying, you know, this is the team we have, we're playing good basketball right now, would Anthony Davis be a great pickup for the Lakers? Sure, but this is the team we are right now, regardless of what happens. Instead, he came out and tried to basically help recruit him. You've seen the way this team has gone after that. Kyle Kuzma now basically is coming out and saying, yeah, there's problems in here. Ball, you know how that's going to end up. So these guys that were involved in this so-called potential trade have started to turn their backs now on LeBron, and I think you're seeing the ramifications of it, and I'm going to call it out. They have a seven-day road trip coming up to the East Coast in about a week. I think the playoff chase ends there. I just, you know, it's falling apart. They have the Clippers, the Celtics, and the Nuggets all coming up this week. They are at home, but
LeBron's going to start sitting, right?
Yeah, the train's out of control right now.
Well, you know what that does, though, guys? I think it adds fuel to the fire of that, no matter how great a player you are, right? How many championships you've won. It doesn't necessarily mean that you should be the guy making all the decisions, right? You shouldn't be the guy that's the only chef in the kitchen. And shouldn't be the case in Los Angeles, and I don't think it is the case, obviously, with they have Rob Pelinka there and Magic now. Making decisions. But LeBron James, I mean, look, who's to say that he's a guy that should be, you know, even weighing in on he should do what it is that he's paid to do, which is, you know, play basketball, be on the court, be the guy.
No, it's not. Wait, Chris, he's not paid to play basketball anymore. Paid to play in movies
and exactly.
Idiotic show and all this. Yeah. Right? Basketball is his second income now.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying, though, as far as, like, that's where he should be staying. I hate telling people to stay in their wheelhouse, but I'm saying, like, from that standpoint of him making – he shouldn't be the guy that's weighing in on all the decisions being made in Los Angeles, basketball-wise. You know what I mean?
Just say it, Chris. Stick to basketball. Go for it.
Just dribble, I guess, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Just
LeBron, get out there, grab the rock. And just play your game. That's all you. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, there he is. All right, guys. Halfway through a super Sunday night here on Heatwave Sports. Coming up, I'm gonna do some NFL talk. The combine just happened. Kyler Murray. We'll get Tom's thoughts on the adjusted height there for Kyler Murray. Some signings that are gonna happen. Well, some announced signings are gonna happen tomorrow in the NFL. We'll talk about that, and stay tuned in hour three, Major League Baseball. Big Bryce signs the big deal. I know Tom talked about it last night. We'll break it down even more in hour three. Plus, there's still two big free agents out there in the Major League Baseball market. Again, we've been playing Name That Team every week. We'll get Tom's adjusted thoughts on where those two guys will land here, and I'm going to assume it's going to be in the next week or two. All that and more on the other side of the timeout. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
Talk some NFL news. The only sport that's 24/7, 365, it seems like. Tom, some quick shots here. Chris as well. Looks like the Jags will sign Nick Foles. We'll announce the signing of Nick Foles this week. Multi-year deal. Blake Bortles will be released. Essentially, we saw this happening once Flacco went to Denver. Yes.
Yeah, this is a good move for Jacksonville. I mean, this is the writing's been on the wall. I don't think Nick Foles is that good. But I think Nick Foles is a calming influence. I think Nick Foles gives this defense and this offensive line and, you know, skilled players a confidence. I think he's a respected guy, and I don't think you have to be that good in Jacksonville. So, yeah, overall, it makes sense for everybody.
Do you see a possible situation here? Look, we know the Jaguars have money. Mm-hmm. You know, we know the owner's not afraid to spend the money. It's just the decisions haven't worked out for him. You give Blake Bortles $20 million a year, guys, and you know, it just didn't work out for Blake at that time. And we could say what we want to say about it, and you know, Fournette gets hurt. There's a lot of different factors involved here. Is it possible, Tom Barton and Chris Wynn, that Jacksonville goes out there and makes a run at Antonio Brown? Bring in the number one.
I don't see why not. That absolutely should be a possibility. But the signing with Nick Foles, this could go two ways, right, guys? It could go the way of, say, a Matt Cassel, right? That you could go down that road. Or they could go down, you know, more positive road where him going there ends up being, he could be a difference maker and someone that can propel them into prominence in the AFC. So we'll see how it shakes out. But there's no question, Tim, right? Like, and adding a receiver of that quality there in Jacksonville, setting aside any possibility of conflicts in regards to chemistry or, you know, having to be in some kind of negative impact, I think there's no question. I don't think it'd be a good thing, right?
I think it's a terrible thing, Chris.
Really?
Absolutely horrible for this team. Here's why. Jalen Ramsey is already running his mouth last year. Kind of gave up on the team, or insiders, you know, said, you know, he was a bad influence. Leonard Fournette thrown out of a game late in the year for fighting in the tunnel. He was running his mouth. They said he was a distraction. I don't want another distraction on this team. I don't want another guy with the Ramseys, with the Fournettes, with the makeup of that team. I don't want another guy in there that could potentially stir the pot, especially with a guy like Nick Foles that, let's be honest, he's not the best quarterback. He'll be efficient. It'll be a running attack first. They're going to run it all day. It'll be efficient. He's going to be wanting the ball constantly, and he is not going to get the same kind of production. And no matter what team Antonio Brown goes to, even though he might be productive, I don't think he's going to get along with the quarterback because the quarterback's not going to be as good as Ben, and he's not going to be able to get the numbers that he is accustomed to getting. So I hate the fit. Look, if you're talking about a fantasy football fit, yeah, that works. But I think Antonio Brown is so far off the deep end, guys, with his Hulk Hogan mustache and whatnot. I think he's so far off the deep end. And now he's saying, well, I don't even have to play football. I just don't want to go part of a team that might already have some guys that are running their mouths a little too much.
I don't know if I totally agree, Tommy, because, look, I mean, this whole thing with Antonio Brown, and I get it. He's a personality. He's a guy that's not afraid to pop off at many times. But I think a lot of that has to do with the whole dynamic in Pittsburgh, right? It's the whole dynamic. It's the whole thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the animosity and you know, how his banter back and forth with Big Ben there with the Steelers. So I think that all changes, right?
But Tom, it
all changes when he goes to Jacksonville because, you know, it's a new day for him. It's a fresh start.
It's not the same dynamic. Chris, that's not true. He's come out and said, that I go to, they're gonna have to play by my rules. I don't even have to play football.
What does that actually mean, though? What does that mean?
What does that mean is that he feels like he's proven enough. He's made enough money. He's a superstar. He's showing up to camp in a freaking helicopter. You know, this isn't a guy that you want around. You don't want. Listen, at 27 years old and with something to prove, Antonio Brown was a force. At 31 years old, without Ben and now Foles, maybe he doesn't have to play anymore. Maybe he's lost the desire to play. I don't want him. I would rather have Le'Veon Bell, who, you know, I think is probably a little out of shape, and I'd rather have Le'Veon Bell because I think Le'Veon Bell's got something to prove. Antonio Brown is telling you he doesn't feel like he can prove anything to anybody.
Okay, what about the Las Vegas Raiders then? Three first-round picks? Mm-hmm. Does he go to
He makes sense for the Raiders.
Yeah. Perfect spot, right?
He really does. He gives them a little personality. The Raiders are not winning the Super Bowl next year. So, you know, he comes in, he understands, look, we're going to build this thing up. I'm going to be on billboards in Vegas. We're, you know, Gruden's somebody I think that can handle him. I think he makes sense for the Raiders.
And what about the rumor that Bell would be there with him? They get them both.
If there's anybody that can handle it, it's Gruden. He was able to somewhat handle Marshawn Lynch, you know, last year, who is, again, one of the biggest attitudes in the sport. If somebody could handle, and you know what? I actually think whatever team they land on, I think putting those two guys together makes a little bit of sense. They can sort of lead the team, let it be theirs. They feel like, okay, you know, Derek Carr is not the guy. We're the guy. You know, I like that. But here's the caveat. We're going to go into the combine in a minute. If the Raiders decide to move on from Derek Carr, I think putting Antonio Brown with a young quarterback is just a giant mistake.
And it's funny you mentioned Le'Veon Bell because the word out there is, Tommy, that, yeah, he may need to get on a treadmill sometime soon because apparently Le'Veon is pushing up around 230, 240 these days, and that's not exactly the playing weight that you want him at.
No. I spoke to Josh Taylor from CBS Pittsburgh, and we were kind of going back and forth about it. You know, he knows him well.
Yes.
Yeah. The same kind of insight, man, is that, yeah, he's, let's just say he's not exactly, you know, this svelte guy. Don't expect him to be anything more than what we saw with Anderson in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, exactly.
CJ, yeah.
Yes.
Where? Okay, so if I had to say, Tom, where are these guys going, and give me your March take on it, what's the fit for you for Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown?
You know, I think the fit for Le'Veon is still, I know what Marlon Mack has done. I still think Indianapolis has to make a move at that. You look at what Le'Veon can do with an Andrew Luck. They have $100 million underneath the salary cap. I know the Jets were looking at it, but the Jets have a lot of need. I think you give Andrew Luck a dynamic player like that, all of a sudden Indianapolis is a different team. They really, really are. Marlon Mack's a nice player, but in the league that we have now, he's a player that could be a complimentary back rather than that lead guy. Le'Veon just does so many things. Antonio Brown, you know, I don't know. I'm torn where this guy can go. I look at him, and by the way, Le'Veon might go to Chris's Detroit. I can't believe, I like Kerryon Johnson, and Detroit's front office comes out, because Detroit's front office is terrible. They come out and they go, well, we don't think he's a lead back. I do. I think he's a lead back. I want to see him get the opportunity to do it. As far as Antonio, the team that makes the most sense to me, I haven't heard mentioned all that much. The Raiders, obviously, are on the list. What about the Miami Dolphins? Miami Dolphins don't have an identity. We talk about UNLV with identity. What's the Miami Dolphins' identity right now? Who knows? I have no idea what it is. They've gotten rid of all their star players. Jay Ajayi, you have a big year? All right, see you later. Goodbye. You know, Landry, you have a big year? All right, goodbye. I think Antonio Brown in Miami, remember, he's from Florida. He's from that area. I think Antonio Brown to Miami makes a lot of sense.
I was watching the AAF game tonight, Birmingham and San Antonio.
So you were the one?
Yeah, I was the one guy who was watching it. But Tom, what do you think? We've talked about it now. I know they're in week four or five, whatever it is. But we've talked about some of the guys that we could possibly be seeing on NFL rosters. And just in this game, it came to mind. Look, Trent Richardson scored his seventh touchdown of the season. And Kenneth Farrow. What's that?
He'll be back.
Yeah. Right, why not, right? And what about Kenneth Farrow, 150 yards on the ground tonight? I know he's with the Chargers a couple years back, but this is what that league was supposed to be, wasn't it, Tom, to give these guys another opportunity to get their name out there?
Yeah, that kid Ross as well, the wide receiver, is the NFL is kind of looking for that really speedy slot receiver type of guy. I don't think Trent Richardson's leading any team next year in rushing yards. I'm a Bears fan. You want to tell me that Trent Richardson is backing up, you know, Howard and Cohen as a number three? I'll take a shot at him, sure. You know, I mean, that's my own team. So there are teams around the league that will take a shot at him. I said it with the AAF right away. I don't expect any of them to come into the league and be a Kurt Warner and, you know, win an MVP or anything. But I think a number of these guys, maybe 15, 20 of them, are going to make an NFL roster. They're going to be a guy that maybe we never even have him on a fantasy team. But they'll do, you know, a decent job. I think that people forget that you have 30 teams, 30-plus teams, with 53-man rosters. That's a lot of players to go find. Yeah, Trent Richardson will find his way back into the NFL. Somebody will take a shot at him. He might only get, you know, over the course of the season, he might get 60 carries next year, Tim. You know, 50 carries. Might score two touchdowns. Guess what? He's back in the NFL.
That's what's good about a league like this is there's an opportunity for some of these guys who are on the verge, right? Who are just on the edge of being in the NFL. They get a chance to get some exposure and opportunity to play, and people have them on the forefront of their minds, right? Like some of these players, if they're able to make an impact and show what they can do, they can find their way. But when it all comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's just about these players finding a niche on some. If an NFL roster needs a guy in a certain spot, right, and it just so happens to be one of these players is someone worth giving another shot to that's playing in the league, then they'll go down that road. But other than that, it's tough sledding for some of these guys to get a shot back in the NFL.
What about the XFL? Starting to name their coaching GMs or whatever. Bob Stoops obviously runs the show in Dallas. Now, since then, Tom, they've announced Pep Hamilton in Washington, Jim Zorn in Seattle, and this week, an old name of ours, Mark Trestman, will be the guy in Tampa.
Yeah, I think, look, they're getting – the AAF did something really, really, really smart, and that was get big names as coaches. And I think the XFL is following suit. You know, I like the fact that they're getting guys that teams will know, that fans will know. You can't go get Joe Blow, even though he might be a good football coach. Football is almost secondary now. I hate to say it, but with the XFL, football is almost secondary. Give me something. Give me a reason to watch. Doesn't matter if the guy is going to win games. Give me a reason to watch. Tim Zone's a reason to watch up there, right? Bob Stoops, reason to watch. People want a reason to watch. So, yeah, I like the moves that they're making. And they're smart moves. Look, they're not just, you know, retreads and whatnot. Pep Hamilton wants to get back into the league. He wants to get back into coaching. Give him a shot. I like it.
And I hate to say it, though, but Tommy's right when he says football is becoming secondary. That's a death blow to kind of the credibility of the league, because we in America, we like to watch, we like to think that we're watching some top-notch, top-tier product, right? When it comes to our professional leagues. And that's why it hasn't, look, that's why another football league in America hasn't succeeded over a number of years, whether it was the USFL, all these other, because it's always thought of as second rate, right? It's always thought of as not as good, and obviously it's not as good as the NFL. So when you have to use all these other tricks and gadgets and other things that have nothing to do with the sport, I think it takes away from what the league could be. And here's another thing, guys.
Chris, hasn't the NFL done that too?
Well, yeah, but to a certain extent. But we all understand that the NFL is the standard of the sport, right? There's no other league in the world
Think about what the NFL would be without fantasy. We have the Red Zone channel. People don't even watch football games anymore. All they watch is scoring all day on a Sunday. But football is secondary. It really is.
Yes, but what I'm addressing is the viability in, you know, in one of these leagues succeeding, right? One of these NFL leagues succeeding.
Absolutely. No,
one of these other,
I
guess what I'm saying, one of these other football leagues actually being relevant in America, you know what I mean, besides the NFL. And I think there has to be some kind of connection with the NFL. They have to basically be a feeder league into the NFL. They have to be a farm team, for example. I think if there's going to be another football league in America, you got to have affiliation with a team. You got to have teams that are, you know, that are feeding into NFL franchises. Well, you know, much like AAA baseball, right, where you have affiliations with major league teams. If it's going to be successful, I think you have to, because it's got to have that legitimacy to it. Right, you got to have that feeling that it's actual football, and these guys and it's a league that people are going to follow because they want to follow the sport. They want to follow guys who are quality football players who are either on their way up or on their way down, or trying to make their way in the sport of football. And it's not just about bells and whistles, you know, and other stuff going on.
Chris, you know what though? Yeah, to elaborate on your point, because you're right. Everything but Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is a built-in feeder system because they don't have college. It is what it is. So AAA will always do well. But outside of that, no one's really watching minor league hockey. The D-League and the Summer League in the NBA is god-awful. Nobody cares about it. And then you talk about football, all these secondary football leagues. Because college is great, the secondary football leagues all fail. So unless you are going, okay, I'm going to watch these guys in this team. The big thing that I think the AAF should have done was they should have kind of connected a franchise with, let's say you have the East, which means Philly, Washington, the Giants, and Dallas can sign this player or whatever. That would have been the only other step I would have gone with. But it's hard to, from a rooting standpoint, to root for a guy in college, and then I got to move and I got to root for him in this league, but my NFL team is this team. So you're right, it's really hard to succeed as a secondary league because college is so big, the NFL is so big, that middle ground, you don't know what you're doing.
And I get what you're saying as far as like rooting interest, because there are people who are deeply rooted, right, in their college teams. And so they want to just, they want to pull for their guy, right? They're players that come out of their program. Yet what happens if you're a Patriots fan and your guy ends up in Miami at South Beach or ends up in New York with the Jets? That's got to be tough on the old fandom in the
happens.
NFL. So,
yeah, it happens. Listen, you're sitting next to somebody that likes Case Keenum in Houston and he followed his entire career, you know? Loves Case Keenum. I'm a guy that loves Keenan Reynolds. I love Keenan Reynolds. I'm looking for Keenan Reynolds updates of how he did transferring to wide receiver in Baltimore. I can't stand the Ravens, but I'm looking at him because I liked him at Navy. You know, you tend to follow guys. But if I had to follow Keenan Reynolds from Navy to the Birmingham Iron and then hope that maybe he comes to an end. It now it just gets convoluted and it just gets too kind of out of there. Where I could watch, you know, the Trenton Thunder, I could watch the Yankees farm system. I'm going, okay, chances are these guys are going to come up with the Yankees. It makes a lot of sense.
So, Chris, the big news at the Combine, mm-hmm. your boy Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Did you tell everybody about how he... How did he go in as far as the stats based on the body?
Well, it's interesting, and I'm dying here to get your guys' thoughts on what the combine means from a evaluation standpoint. Of course, we're now in day three was today. We had an opportunity to see some linebackers and some of the big guys from the front seven run some 40 times. In day one, we had running backs and offensive linemen, and day two, we had the quarterback, wide receiver, and tight ends. But in regards to and talking about Kyler Murray, this is a very intriguing topic, because if he ends up being a guy who is a franchise quarterback, it's going to be one of those things that's unprecedented, that we've never seen in the NFL. Look, the comparisons come up, obviously, with Doug Flutie because of the size and because of what they both were able to do in college, at college level, as quarterbacks. And then we saw what Doug Flutie was able to make the transition into professional football and eventually the NFL and have a career. But now the discussion to me, I think, is preposterous that we're talking about Kyler Murray as a possible top 10 pick in the NFL draft as a quarterback. It blows my mind, you guys, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts, that there are NFL franchises out there, there are people who have covered the NFL for a number of years, that are making statements that Kyler Murray is going to be a franchise quarterback, is someone that you're going to hang your hat on as an NFL franchise and think, oh, this is going to be our guy. Because let's be honest about it, all right? If you're going to pick him in the top 10, heck, if you're going to pick him in the top 15 or in the first round, that is your thought process, is that this is going to be your franchise guy and it's going to be a quarterback. And people want to talk about the measurables. Oh, is he 5'8"? Is he 5'9"? 5'10"? It turns out he's barely 5'10". You know, he's north of 200 pounds, and that whole aspect of it. But and the eyeball test, I think, needs to come into play hugely here. And people have to. I mean, look, we saw what he did in college. It was outstanding, and he did it in front of an offensive line that was NFL size, right? Those guys were all huge that he played in front of in Oklahoma. But it is a completely different animal when you're going into the NFL and you're going to be going up against NFL defenses. And NFL defenses and defensive coordinators are going to be scheming against you. I think the deck is stacked extremely high against Kyler Murray. And I'm not someone who's just trying to blast the guy. I'm not trying to, you know, just I'm not some hater that doesn't think that the guy has doesn't have a chance. He absolutely has a chance. But I just don't think from a reasonable standpoint that you can look at it and also there's this talk about it possibly going number one overall. I mean, to me that just it just blows my mind. And not in a good way. It absolutely shocks me, and I want to get both your guys' take as to the quote unquote hype around Kyler Murray as a prospect in the NFL, and thoughts that he could be this superstar on the verge here in this league.
Tim, you want to go first? Or you want me to grab it?
Oh no, I'm interested to hear Tom's take on this. I think we're going the other way, so.
Well, let me tell you. First of all, Chris, he's going number one.
Oh, my! You have to be kidding me. Wow. Really?
Listen, I'm talking to Matt Manicharian tomorrow. He's the former Saints and Browns, head scout. And I'll get more information on him. But I've spoken to two scouts this week, and both of them are saying he's going one. They're trading Rosen. Kingsbury's in love with him, and he's going one. And if he doesn't go one, he's not making it out of the top five. Right now, the odds, Chris, if he's picked 1, 2, 3, or 4, -200. After that, +350. So that's the odds, at FanDuel here in New Jersey. He's going one. Now, I tend to agree with you that I don't believe in the combine. I don't care how big he is. You know, I thought he was a lot smaller. I actually put it up on Twitter, and I got a lot of bad feedback a couple of weeks ago. I put up, you know, that I expected him to come in never at 207, but I thought he'd be closer to 200.
Right.
I'm not a fan of his game. It's not. Listen, he's a fantastic player, and I'm not even worried about the size. I'm not a fan of his game. I don't like running quarterbacks. I don't like quarterbacks that have to roll out. But I will say this. Speaking to one of the scouts, he said the NFL is changing. They're understanding the NFL is going back to more to a college game. There are a lot of rollouts, a lot of quarterbacks in the motion. And Patrick Mahomes is who he brought up to me. He said, listen, look at Patrick Mahomes. For all the arm strength that guy has, he's rolling out all the time. He's always on the move. And that is a good idea for somebody that wants Kyler Murray. And you think if you're an Arizona fan, you're going with Fitzgerald and Murray with DJ behind him. If you have a pass-catching running back, which is now the new thing as well, he could roll out with you, and you could play not quite an option, but an option-based type of game. I agree with you. I said when Mariota came out and Jameis Winston came out, I said, guys, I don't think either one of these guys is going to be a flame out. I don't see either one of them winning an MVP or a Super Bowl. And I could see them being a quarterback for 5 to 10 years. I'm saying the same thing about Murray, and I'm saying the same thing about Haskins here, though. I don't think that they flame out, Chris. I don't think he's a bust. I think he can be a starting quarterback in this league for a little while, you know, but eventually his body's going to give in. He's never going to win a Super Bowl. He's never going to win an MVP. He may never win the division, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, a bench guy. I don't think he's going to go Jake Locker on us, you know. I think he's going to be a guy that he's a starter. In 5 years from now, he's got a career that is very reminiscent of Marcus Mariota. Mariota, remember, Mariota is a small guy. I don't know if I've seen a talent, just strictly talent-wise, in the college ranks like Mariota had. Just didn't translate. And I see the same thing with Kyler Murray. Everyone wants to compare him. I heard the Flutie thing. Everyone wants to compare him to Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson's a special player. I look at the comparison. I go Marcus Mariota. Maybe not the measurables, but the game that he has, it's a Marcus Mariota game plan. Is that, you tell me what you think of Mariota. I think he's a bottom 10 NFL quarterback, maybe bottom 15, middle of the road, right? I always break down quarterbacks. You're either top 10, bottom 10, or in the middle. I think Mariota's in the middle. I think Kyler Murray could be in the middle. So, listen, Timmy's probably going to have a much hotter take here, and I'd love to have a hot take on Murray. I know, look, we want listeners to be outraged at our takes, you know, or loving our takes. I'm in the middle here. I feel he's a mediocre quarterback. I would never take him at number one, and I certainly wouldn't trade up for him at number one. But then again, I didn't believe in Josh Rosen, and I think Josh Rosen, I called Josh Rosen, and I said he was going to be a giant bust. So I'm okay with Arizona taking him at one because I think he can be a quarterback for the next 5 to 7 years. I just don't think he's ever going to be a superstar quarterback.
And look, I didn't say that he shouldn't be drafted in the NFL. I didn't say he shouldn't be a late
second overall.
Yeah, I'm just blown away by the, you know, overwhelming, you know, franchise changing direction perception there is, I guess, right, of Kyler Murray. With what he can do with something. I get it. It's measurables. It should only be one aspect of what you analyze a player on. But let me tell you something. There's a big difference between, you know, 5'9.5", 5'10", and what Drew Brees is or what Russell Wilson is. You know, there's a big difference between, you know, and you talked about what Kyler Murray brings to the table as a player and what he does on the field. You know, this is the NFL, okay? They find ways to take away your strengths, not to let you elaborate on them. So I think that look, it's not, again, I don't have any animus towards him. I don't have any ill will whatsoever towards a guy like Kyler Murray. I just think that it's extremely way overhyped, the thought of what this guy can do in the NFL.
2 hours are in the books. We got one to go. I'll give you my Kyler Murray take on the other side of the break. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM.